Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Amanda Nduka.
And my name is Dino Ray Romo.
And this, for this episode, we have a very special guest, Jeffrey Owens.
Yes.
Who is best known for The Cosby Show.
Elvin
on The Cosby Show. Yeah. Recently in the news for
a lot of things.
There was a Trader Joe's. He was put out there for working at Trader Joe's, and I guess there was an attempt to shame him for doing it,
but then it backfired.
Yeah.
And now he's just getting this shine.
He's getting his shit. So thank you to whoever took that picture, because you really did. You did some good. You did some good here. Yeah. But yeah, he was in. He was cast in Tyler Perry's The Have and Haves and the Have Nots.
And then he's gonna be on NCIS.
Yeah. And then we got to do a set visit with him and his new movie, Fatale, Deion Taylor's movie. Deion Taylor's the director. It was described as.
It's kind of like a Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. Ordeal. You know, it's with Hilary Swank, Michael Ealy.
Mike Coulter.
It has a good cast. Yeah, it has a really good cast.
Yeah.
He was great to talk to. Very, very open about everything, you know.
I'm just glad that this shaming thing kind of took, it kind of just was a backlash. And now he doesn't seem very disgruntled about it.
Oh, no, of course not. He doesn't. You know, he said he had his hour of, you know, his little embarrassment. But then he, you know, he has a really sweet story about his son and how everybody just came to his defense. So, without any more talking, here is Jeffrey.
We would like to welcome our distinguished guest, Mr. Jeffrey Owens. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming. So we always like to start off our podcast with, I guess, our guest origin story, you know, but we could like hop ahead a little bit. So you graduated from Yale, correct?
I think so.
That one school.
Well, you know why I say that? Because, you know, when someone asks me, I don't know if people do this in all schools, but if you go to certain schools and they say, where did you go to school? You inflect it like a question. So ask me where I went to school.
Oh, where do you go to school?
Yale. I don't know if they do that for UCLA or Northwestern.
For UT. I went to UT.
But you never say a statement. You always say Yale.
Oh, yeah, you're like, right. Like when someone asks me, I'm like, oh, Texas A&M?
Like, have you ever heard of it?
I went to UT in Austin.
Sometimes there's a little bit of shame there. Yeah. You're like,
oh, no, why?
I went to a state school,
And then, like, you landed Cosby Show.
Not too long after.
Within a year and a half-ish after graduating. Yeah.
So, like, were you, like, aware of the impact of that show while
you
were on it?
No, not at all. Yeah, okay. I hadn't watched it when I got on it. Mm. I didn't watch it after I was on it. I watched my episodes.
Yeah.
I barely had a TV. I had an old funky TV that half the time didn't even work.
Did it have the knobs?
Exactly, knobs and an antenna that you had to kind of...
Oh, with foil on it?
This is 1985, guys. You have to understand.
Yeah.
But I wasn't aware of the impact at all, which is probably good because I was able to do my job, just be an actor and do my job without all the hype in my head, you know?
How did that audition come about?
In a crazy way. You want to hear the story? Yeah, I'll try to make it as quick as possible.
Yeah, no.
Give us the clip notes.
Okay, here's how the story starts. My mother was teaching a course in James Joyce. You see the connection, guys, don't you? you see where this is going? She was teaching a course in James Joyce. It was an adult class. I don't mean by that it was smutty, but it was full of adults. Mm-hmm. And one of her students was an actress. And they got talking one day, and my mother, of course, told the woman that her son, you know, that I was an actor. And the woman said, oh, well, my friend is my agent. If he's any good, give me his picture. So my mom asked me for my picture, and of course, I said, Mom, please, give me a break. Leave me alone. But for some reason, I actually listened to my mom, and I gave her my picture. She gave it to her friend, Jane, and Jane gave it to her friend, who was the agent, and... she called me in for an interview, and I interviewed. I had a terrible interview, but they kept my picture, and it was on her desk when they got the breakdown for the Cosby Show, and that's how I got that audition. That my picture just happened to be on her desk. when the breakdown came in and I went in on it and I nailed it. And
oh, wow.
That's so good.
It's all serendipitous.
Yeah, because you hear crazy? So many times, like, somebody gets your picture and then it ends up in the trash yeah. or something. Well, so the fact that it actually got handed off to multiple people.
Especially after I had the world's worst interview, you know, yeah. too. But for some reason, they must have liked me. Anyway, yeah. thanks, Mom.
Was acting something you've always wanted to do since
yeah,
you were
since
okay.
second or third grade?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Because yeah. your parents, were they weren't performers. So no. I remember your dad was like,
but, well, my mom was a teacher, yeah. including music, but she wasn't a performer. But she was a teacher, and my dad was in politics, actually. A certain
oh,
amount
yeah,
of
yeah,
performance
yeah.
going on.
Yeah, right. There's some acting in
there's
that,
some,
right?
Hopefully
yeah.
a minimum.
Like, yeah, there's some performing going on.
He was a very honest and non-performative politician. Mm-hmm. But,
So the show obviously had a successful run. So after the show ended, like, what kind of roles were you going for? Were there a lot of things coming to you guys? Like,
no.
what was the post-Cosby
no.
life
after
like?
After the show ended in the early 92, mm-hmm. and for some reason, I don't know, nothing really came directly of it at all. I mean, mm-hmm. I was always primarily interested in theater rather than television
okay.
and film. So mm-hmm. all the time I was doing Cosby Show, I was also doing theater. And I remember the things that I pursued, auditioned for, and got after Cosby were theater things. I remember doing a couple of classical things in theaters in Connecticut. And it was always theater and classical theater, Shakespeare, blah, blah, blah. But in terms of something kind of spinning off from the show, not at all. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, to this day, I'm not sure what that was about, but mm-hmm. that didn't happen. And then eventually, you know, I mean, I kept doing theater. I 5 years after the Cosby Show ended, I had another show here in L.A. called mm-hmm. Built to Last, mm-hmm. ironically titled.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It lasted three episodes. We shot 10. Yeah. They showed three and it was canceled. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I haven't had another significant television job mm-hmm. since Cosby ended 26 years ago. So
yeah.
That's crazy. You know, but I did mostly theater. Yeah. I was also teaching.
Oh, awesome.
A lot of teaching yeah. and some directing as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that's common? Like, once you do it, because, you know, the thought is you're on a successful show afterwards, like, you know, scripts are coming to you. Like,
I think it's half and half. Half yeah. the people get that kind yeah. of afterlife from mm-hmm. a show and a lot of people don't mm-hmm. and I was one mm-hmm. of the latter
yeah.
not complaining
yeah,
not,
yeah, yeah,
I've
yeah.
had a great
no,
career
yeah, yeah.
I'm not complaining at all, it's just mm-hmm. the way it was, you know.
Yeah, well, of course, so recently, you know, there was some news like you know, someone like, okay, so when I heard the news about, you know, someone shot a picture of you working at Trader Joe's, I was all, oh my god, there's Elvin, and then I kind of just went on my
yeah.
business
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think anything of it, honestly. And then it became this huge story.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I was just like, oh, he's just living his life. You know, leave him alone. And plus, doing that kind of thing is rude to begin with, mm-hmm. just to kind of take someone's picture without them knowing. But when that news first came out, you know, right. what was your reaction? And, I mean, and why do you think people were reacting the way they were reacting?
Well, I was tipped off about a week and a half before the article actually broke.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that the original reporter called me and told me that it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so that day, actually, I quit Trader Joe's because mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I could go back to work
yeah.
with this kind of thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very private person, and this was over the line now, you know, because working there the 15 months I worked there, every day people recognized me, but they were very cool.
Mm.
They were very nice, no problem. But this was creepy. Like
mm-hmm.
the guy showed up
yeah.
at my house
oh
when
my
I wasn't
God,
there
really?
And talked to my mom and stuff. And then like,
wow.
so I was like, okay, I don't know where anything's
was,
coming
yeah.
from now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going back to work. And they were very understanding about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I spent that week and a half before it came out thinking, you know, you're kind of steeling yourself. Like, how bad is it going to be?
Yeah.
Like, what's it going to be? Where's it going to come from? And how's it going to be? And, of course, it was even worse than I ever thought.
Yeah.
My wife and I saw these when it came out that day, the pictures and the demeaning words that were used to describe me. And it was worse than I could ever imagine. And so for a whole hour or two, which fortunately was the short time that
mm-hmm.
it lasted,
mm-hmm.
I was devastated. It was very humiliating.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I called I texted my son and I apologized to him. I said, you know, I'm sorry, honey, it's for embarrassing you.
Mm-hmm.
This is, aww. You know, people are going to know about this and they're going to talk to you about it. It's
mm-hmm.
just embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologized to him. I got the most beautiful text from him back
mm-hmm.
about, and this was before all the good stuff started coming in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He texted me about how proud he was
mm-hmm.
to be my son and that he
aww.
Thought it was a great thing that I'd taken the job and everything.
Yeah.
It made me cry.
Oh my
yeah.
God, I know.
It was beautiful. And,
yeah.
and so that, between that and my wife's support, which mm-hmm. I had, you know, I felt, okay, I can I can withstand this. I can, you know, I can take this. Mm-hmm. And then within an hour, hour and a half at the most, the responses started coming in from all over the world. Mm-hmm. Everyone, friends, family, celebrities, mm-hmm. Colleagues, everyone started weighing in. And in my defense, the support and encouragement and positivity and love and admiration. And so, you know, that humiliation was very short-lived.
Yeah.
And then it was just a lovely tidal wave mm-hmm. of beautiful, you know, support.
That's so good.
I think it just has something to say about, like, I was like Hollywood, like, we have this weird perception of, like, what fame is supposed to be, or I guess America does, like,
yes,
just people in general.
People in general. So it's like when something doesn't fit in that, like, you know, that mold, people feel like they have the right to comment or to, you know,
fame, celebrity and fame are weird things in our society. In fact, one of the people who reached out to me first, one of the first people to actively support me, reach out to me, was Justine Bateman.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And we kind of are all in the same kind of that era.
Justine
TV,
Bateman reached out to me. She actually reached me. We have a mutual friend, and I gave them permission to mm-hmm. give her my number. And mm-hmm. so we started texting and directly about this, and she was very supportive. In fact, she sent me a copy of her book that's out now called Fame, and which I read a couple of weeks ago. It's a wonderful book mm-hmm. about all this stuff from a very personal perspective mm-hmm. from her experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it's just so interesting about, like, how people do pursue see fame, and, like, You're probably one of many people that have been in that position where, like, you're just trying to live life and pay bills.
I think so, absolutely.
And you just, unfortunately, someone just snapped a picture of you and it went viral and kind of, luckily, you know, it was bad at the time, but now kind of something really good.
You said unfortunately, but it's not.
And now it's fortunately.
Yeah, it's good, because, like, I feel like it just, like, takes the whole shaming thing off. I guess you had to be the first person, but, like, if you see somebody else that, you know, was on a show, and then you see them, they're not doing. It's like there's no reason to shame them.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Everybody's making an honest living.
It might be weird.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
to see them, but then you don't take the next step and denigrate them or judge them for it. Like, if I saw Robert De Niro working in my local post office,
it
would be weird, right?
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But hopefully I wouldn't say something crass or insensitive. Or, like, I just kind of, you know.
Or sneak a picture.
Or sneak a picture and sell it to the tabloid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, social media, like, Twitter did good this time, because, you know, like, sometimes Twitter could be really, really,
like,
brutal.
Very
so,
toxic and gross.
Yeah, yeah. So in this sense, they actually get a high five.
Yeah.
So, just speaking on that, like, in previous interviews, you've said that the reason why you had to take the job at Trader Joe's partially was because of the Cosby Show being pulled from syndication. So now that, like, you know, now that the whole Cosby situation has happened and he's been tried and convicted, do you feel like the show can still
I don't know.
Live on
I don't know.
Its legacy?
You know what? I think it'll come back eventually. But it has to serve its time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like these things, I think time heals all wounds, but it's going to take some time, and mm-hmm. eventually it'll be back. But, and by the way, I mean, the thing about residuals and stuff, I mean, I never consciously thought to myself particularly, you know, I don't blame what happened with Bill Cosby for mm-hmm. why I ended up working at Trader Joe's, understand. Mm-hmm. That was the result of a lot of years of all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was one of the things that didn't help, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, the fact that mm-hmm. the residuals got pulled, sure. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the factor that drove me into the arms of Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
But in terms of the show, you know, I'm sure it'll come back someday. It's too good not to come back.
That's what we were talking
about. But it's going to be weird for a while for it to be on.
Yeah.
And so that's just got to...
No, we were just talking. You know, the show did so much when it came to representation of the Black family that you didn't see, you know, before that. So it's just kind of, you know, you kind of hope that it can still live on somehow. Like you said, it might take some time. You might need to be removed.
A lot
that's
of people love
but
that show no matter
and
what.
And it's timeless.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, I just remember, you could still quote things from that. Like, you know, the Gordon Gartrell shirt, the shovel turn slap. I'm like, and then, like, your character of Elvin, he said some cringeworthy things a lot.
Well, yes.
But that was his character.
That's good television.
Yeah, it was good television.
Yeah, and like, but yeah, it's, I think you're right how it has to you know, serve its time.
Things have to run their course.
But yeah, no. I mean, like I said, it did great. It was a great, is a great staple of black, black television
and just television
and television in general.
Because like at the time, that was the only family of color on TV, and like me, like there wasn't any Asian, Filipino, or anyone on TV at the time. So kind of just to kind of see someone whose skin matches mine as possible. I was like, oh, okay, they may have some similar, you know, experiences than me.
And 55 million viewers at a time.
You can't get those numbers anymore.
No, unless it's a Super Bowl.
Yeah. So now, you know, you have a bunch of projects in the works. You know, you're going to be on NCIS, Tyler Perry's Have and Have Nots, and now you're going to be on Fatale,
which we got to visit yesterday, which is really cool. Yeah.
Wasn't that a great set?
It was a great set.
I wanted to have a party at that.
That's what we were talking about. Like, how we can throw a party this house.
And that infinity pool out there and that view.
The view was great. And then we got to see Hilary Swank and Michael Ealy, who are your co-stars.
Yeah. So, can you tell us a little bit more about your character and just kind of what this film is about?
I can tell you a little. You know, the film is a murder. Can't tell you too much.
It's
a murder mystery intrigue film, so you don't want to give anything. Hilary Swank is one of the key figures. Michael Ealy, of course, is the protagonist. He plays a famous professional sports an athlete. He's accused of a terrible crime. Mm-hmm. And I am his defense attorney. Mm-hmm. My name is Bill Crane Poole.
Mm-hmm. That is such an attorney name.
Originally it was Crane and they changed it to Crane Poole. I was like, okay. The only other Crane Poole I knew was on the 1969 Mets. Ed Crane Poole. If any Mets fans out there remember that. But I'm his attorney, and obviously I'm trying to get him off, and you'll see how that goes.
Oh my God! Like Dion was talking to us yesterday about he gave us a lot.
He compared it to Fatal Attraction. Compared it to. So
this time, Fatal Attraction. Fatal Attraction.
And I was like, I was immediately thinking about those movies. Like Fatal Attraction was kind of this benchmark, but then there have been a lot of these kind of, I don't want to call them erotic thrillers, but
Obsession.
That's what I was going to say. The Beyonce one.
Or Obsession. I think it's in that genre.
But I love those kind of it kind of freaks you out. It makes men scared not to cheat on their wives.
How did this project come to you?
Yeah. It was an offer.
Okay.
It's one of the three offers I've received, you know, in the wake of all this madness that happened. NCIS New Orleans. Tyler Perry's To Have, The Haves and the Have Nots, and this film have all been really gifts from heaven and gifts from these generous people in the business.
So do you feel like you're kind of in this, your career is kind of in this, maybe, I don't know if you want to call it revival,
Absolutely. Okay. Listen, 5 weeks ago I was working at Trader Joe's. And Trader Joe's is a great place to work, don't get me wrong. But it's not my calling. My calling is that of an artist and an actor. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I am back really where I belong. Mm-hmm. And in a way, I mean, celebrity-wise, I feel like I'm a bigger celebrity now than I was 30 years ago when I was on the Cosby Show. Mm-hmm. Back then there was no internet, social media.
There's no social media.
Sometimes I miss those days.
don't get me started. But I mean, with the scrutiny that my face has gotten in the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, everybody. It's a recognition factor that mm-hmm. I've never experienced before, mm-hmm. even at the height of the Cosby mm-hmm. Show. Mm-hmm. But my career is back for now. We're gonna keep it going. This is a crazy business, so you know, I've been around long enough, over 30 years, to know that they're gonna be more downs in the future, not just ups. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, but for now it's going great, and I'm very grateful.
Are you gonna do more theater? You think?
I will eventually. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. right now, we're focusing on film and television, mm-hmm. but theater's my first love artistically. So I'll definitely be doing.
Are you based on the East Coast?
I am. Okay. I live in New Jersey, I work in that area, in New York and New Jersey a lot, and Connecticut.
So that's a perfect place for more theater.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I love coming to LA. I lived here for 5 years years ago.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Was there anything else that you have coming up that you can talk about?
No, and I'm not being evasive. I don't, because there are offers, but nothing's pinned down yet.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be responsible of me to say anything. A bunch of offers.
Yeah. I will say this. I met somebody, an executive executive a couple weeks ago. I had breakfast, and they were like, they're going to offer you something. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Oh, I don't want to say who it is.
No, don't. But no, yeah, that's nice.
But they did tell
It'll
me
it'll be a nice surprise.
Yeah, so
isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It's a Christmas. They're like, early Christmas.
They were like, we don't want to make it a big deal. We don't want to put it out like a press release, but we're gonna offer it. We have a movie that we're doing, and we're going to offer him a role. And I was like, that's really nice. Yeah. So I don't know if you already, maybe you already talked to them. I don't know.
I'm not sure because we don't know who it is.
Spoiler alert, guys.
So just FYI. Cool.
Yeah, so we're going to go into our final round of what we like to call the facts, the FAQs. So okay. Frequently asked questions. They're a little bit fun questions.
Yeah.
So
is that what fact stands for? No. I just learned that right now. Yeah, isn't that sad?
No, it's fine.
I never knew what that meant.
You learn something new every day. So this, just like I said, these are fun questions. Yeah. What is your favorite Trader Joe's item?
Oh, wow.
Or you can give us suggestions, because I am always looking for some. Because they have a lot.
Yeah, they do.
You know what? I love the macaroni and cheese.
The frozen one.
Yes. And yes. And the pizza with all the meat on it. And I'm forgetting what the name of it is, but it's the one with all the meat on it.
Okay.
Isn't that terrible? I forgot. It's been 15 months and I don't care.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those two items, particularly, a bunch of them. There's so many.
And there's always like new stuff coming out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And discontinued stuff, which kind of makes me mad sometimes.
I would say I don't shop at Trader Joe's as often as I I hear everybody's like, oh, we go to Trader Joe's. I'm like, no, it's I go to Ralph's.
It's a great store. Yeah. It really is a great store.
I don't have the only problem I have.
Is there a Trader Joe's near you?
There's a lot. There's like
then
three.
You should go.
David's shaking his head.
What's your excuse?
He lives like, yeah. I don't know.
And it's so also the parking lots are horrible.
That's another thing, yeah. Yeah, the parking lot's
ours was
very
too
bad.
In Clifton, New Jersey, no exception. Oh boy.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh my God, I'm so glad you said the mac and cheese. I haven't had it for a while, but I used to get it every weekend.
Oh yeah.
It's so heavy, but it's so good.
I'll sprinkle some
breadcrumbs on top at the
really
end.
That too.
That sounds
nice.
Really good, actually.
I'm getting hungry.
It's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. That's right.
Did you hear that low?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Wow. He's thinking about food.
It's
lunchtime.
It's lunchtime. And you said macaroni and cheese. Yeah. And
really
now I'm like, oh,
pardon our low.
Is there something on your bucket list that you have been wanting to check off for a while?
Yes, probably a theater project, like playing one of the great Shakespeare roles. Or
what's your ideal Shakespeare?
Like King Lear.
Oh, that's a heavy
that's
one.
A good
play
one.
Lear someday, you know.
Yeah. Have you been in any other Shakespeare plays?
I've been in a lot of Shakespeare. Okay. I've done more Shakespeare than anything else.
Oh, okay. Cool. Like
I've directed a lot of them. I've acted in them, and I've taught Shakespeare for 25 years at least.
I used to hate Shakespeare in high school.
I took a
just so heavy.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
I took a Shakespeare lit class in college, and there was one of the tests we always had to, like, she would give us a line and we would have to say the play, the act.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was very.
I love that. I'd love to take that test.
Like, the act, the scene.
Right.
And who they were talking to.
Wow.
And I actually liked it.
Yeah.
And cool. We started off with Titus Andronicus in that class, which I love.
Which is a real crowd pleaser.
Because it's so violent and revenge. Yeah. I love it.
The Shakespeare is my favorite thing. So,
I like it. I appreciate it now, but when you have to dissect it in high school, it wasn't.
Yeah, you can't appreciate in high school because you're like, we're all punks in
high
school.
Like,
well,
I don't care.
It's great that you survived that and that you actually like it now.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate it. Is there a sitcom that you're currently, like a current sitcom that you're obsessed with right now?
No, and I'll tell you, because I'm not a TV watcher.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, because you said you didn't watch.
I don't watch very much TV. If I watch TV, it's usually news or sports or movies, but I don't watch TV qua TV. But there are great shows. I mean, the one that I particularly admire is Modern Family. Are they still?
They're still on. Yeah.
They're like on season 55 or something.
That's been an amazing show.
Yeah. Like, so well written.
Yeah.
And everything.
That one's good.
And there's a few others that I've noticed that are like, I love when the writing is really strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
that show, especially the first three or four seasons, was just, I mean, just amazing in acting and everything. But I'm not, you know, so I don't kind of dream about TV roles so much, but always grateful to get them. And Will and Grace is an awesome show.
I just watched that this morning, the second season.
I'm so happy that that's back. Because that is a superb show. It is. I'd love to be on that someday.
There you go.
Will and Grace. You heard it. You heard it here.
Out of the universe, guys. It's out there. So we also like to have, we have this site that we go to called Conversation Starter. It automatically generates a question.
Okay.
So we're going to see what it says, and then we'll ask you the question.
Okay.
So let's see. Generate a random topic. What is the last dream that you remember?
Oh, interesting.
Well, that's a good one.
That is a good one, actually. I know my last dream.
I don't remember. I'm not being evasive.
That's hard.
Or do you know like a dream that you've had like in the past that kind of sticks out?
I mean, it's called the actor's nightmare. In fact, that's probably the last dream I remember because I have it like twice a year at least. Mm-hmm. It's the dream in which you're about to go on stage in a huge role, and for me, usually Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And not only do I not know my lines, I don't know any of the lines, and I'm about to go on, but I don't have many clothes on.
Oh gosh.
So you have clothes, but not much.
Like I'm in my underwear or something. I don't know my lines, but I am going on stage in a matter
of
minutes.
That's a real thing.
That's an anxiety dream that actors have.
Does it just come in like randomly or like before certain?
No, it
like
comes in with not attached to any project going on or anything. I know I've had that within the last month probably.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, you see it on like TV. Like I didn't know that was like a real thing.
Or like, it's like that whole thing going, you have that nightmare of going to school naked or something like that. I've never had that
nightmare.
Or like you go and you end up,
the one
like
recurring thing I have is when my teeth are all falling.
Oh,
out.
That's,
I don't know,
like,
what that,
oh, really?
I think, yeah, I've had that.
There is explanation.
It's when I'm stressed. I have dreams that all my teeth are falling out.
I tweeted about my dream where me and Lady Gaga were singing "Shallow" from A Star Is Born, and we ended in a tearful embrace.
I'm going to see A Star Is Born on Sunday.
Oh, good. It's good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's
the
good.
The soundtrack is amazing.
It was my favorite movie out of TIFF. Yeah. I loved it.
Cool. And then our final question. We ask all our guests, is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, producer, storyteller, or anyone who are not in the mainstream that you kind of want to give some shine to?
Oh, my goodness. You mean a particular person?
Yeah. I know there's
somebody who's
lot,
like doing great things right now, but like maybe not that many people know about them.
Yeah.
Or like goodness. Wow. I mean,
there's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, there's so many if I had time to really think, but the first person that came to mind was my friend Robert Duncan.
Okay.
He's not an actor. He's a singer, songwriter, pianist.
Okay.
And he's just a wonderful, incredibly talented musician and singer.
Okay.
He lives in Jersey, like I do. And he's an extremely soulful, if you heard him, he's just incredible voice, incredible passion in his voice. And he's someone that I really, Robert, if you hear this, I just want to see him shine at some point and get the recognition that's due him.
Is it like what kind of music is?
It's like R&B.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It's R&B.
Do you know if it's on his stuff is on iTunes?
No, but YouTube.
Okay.
YouTube.
Okay.
Robert Duncan.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. Because I'm a big, like, even if he even leans towards more 90s R&B, I'm like all
I'm
about.
Yeah. Me too.
Check him out. Find him and check him out. He's wonderful.
Cool. Well, noted.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
We always generous question.
We like to, this being the new Hollywood podcast, we like to shine a light on like people who are, you know, we're traditionally marginalized or like nobody really talks about, but
or like they're just underrepresented or they just don't have the access that they should have.
Exactly.
Yeah, good for you.
Exactly.
That's nice. Thank you.
Well, thank you so
Jeffrey.
Much for
thank
being
you
here.
Guys, this was so much fun.
Thank you. Oh, we're so glad you had a good time.
Yeah,
thank you
so much.
Thank you.
You got it. Thanks.
Right.